All right, welcome back to the show, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Studios, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. We've got all of our regular features coming up. The Friday features will be coming up after 4 o'clock. You've got Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show, Spies, You Big Dummy, and, of course, Fly Jams Friday. 312-981-7200 is our text and phone number. We're here till 5. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5. And Steve Cochran at 6. That music you heard is from Ash versus Evil Dead. And that brings me to welcoming my next guest to the show. Five interviews I've ever done in the years I've been doing this. And she is currently seen in Ash versus Evil Dead Sundays on Stars. And I love her, and she's awesome. And I want to welcome Dana DiLorenzo back to the show. Hey, Dana. How you doing?
Oh, I'm great, Nick. What that is like the greatest intro. Can I just like save that and play it on every other interview I do?
Of course.
Like insert it.
You have my.
As like that.
Did you just say, can we insert it?
Okay, am I going to make another out of context thing? Is that really? I mean, am I in the Hall of Fame for that yet?
You are now like 60 seconds into the interview and you've already made Straight Out of Context. I can tell you that for next
week. All right.
Week.
You know what? Calm down. Calm down, Nick.
Hey, listen, how you been since I saw you? You were in town. The last time you were here, you were in town for Wizard World promoting Ash versus Evil Dead. And it's been, you've been so busy, right?
I mean, I can't even blame it on the supermoon. It's been insane. But I have to tell you, before, I'm sure everyone is enthralled with what my schedule has been. But I have to tell you, you really are, and I don't know if this is like not cool to say to everyone else I'm about to do interviews for or have done interviews with, but you remain my king of my favorite interview of all time.
Oh, God, that's so sweet.
Like, no, and I really am not saying that to blow smoke.
Yeah.
And I have to say, I mean, because you know I'm a Chicago girl, like not born and raised, but after living there 10 years. By the way, side note, go Cubs.
How about that? I was following you. You know, I follow you on the internets and stuff, and I saw that you were a little, you were torn because we played the Indians, and you're an Ohio native.
I am, and it was like the best of both worlds, and also the worst because yes, my first baseball game I ever attended was the Indians, and I played softball growing up, and it was my favorite sport. Yeah, I was a pitcher. I pitched a couple shutouts. No big deal. I think I told you that last time. It's like my biggest claim to fame. I peaked at like age 12. The nostalgia of having that been your first and growing up with your whole family watching it, that obviously the Cleveland Indians very near and dear to my heart.
Right.
But then, you know, I lived in Chicago 10 years, and I worked at one of the rooftops there at Lakeview Baseball Club, and I got into fights with dirty old men. It was amazing. I was so torn because, listen, I know that curse, man. I was, by the way, I was the first one. I don't even know if it became a hashtag, and I just realized I can't say it on your show, but I created the hashtag the minute that the Cubs went to the World Series. The hashtag was F-bomb the curse.
Yes.
Only not, you know.
Yeah.
So I was so, so happy for my Cubbies.
Yeah.
And really, it was one of those things where if either team was going to lose, I'm happy it was to either team that had the two worst records in terms of getting to the last time they were at the World Series.
Right.
But when those Cubs won, man, I couldn't help but just be so excited. And people were very confused because I was rooting for both when I was watching it at a sports bar with my friend. And people were like staring at me very strangely because, you know, it was such an insane game 7, obviously. And, you know, the Cubs would do something and I'd like scream and clap. And then Indians would do something and I'd scream and clap. People were like, what is wrong with Like, I was honestly getting death threats.
Yeah,
like death threats.
I bet. You just mentioned a game 7. I've never seen anything like it, ever. I've been watching baseball my whole life, and it was one of the most incredible games I've ever seen.
I agree, and I tweeted or, like, put on Facebook, like, this is why baseball is the greatest sport of all time. There's nothing else like it. Oh, my God, the hate. I received. You would have thought it was a political tweet from around the world. Like, oh, Mike, you don't know, it's 40s. You got to come watch rugby.
Yeah,
and then,
right.
like, you've obviously never been to a hockey game, you dumb girl. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, can I just love baseball? Like, can we all calm down?
So your schedule.
I digress. Because I wanted to say, everyone in from my family to my friends, and not just because you're a paisan, fellow Italiano, everyone was like, that was the best interview you've ever done.
Aww.
Like, so thank you for such a wonderful experience. And I'm so thrilled to be able to talk to you again.
Yeah, I'm glad. You know, I've been referring to you during the week when I'm promoting this as my future ex-wife, because that's how I figure it's going to be.
That's a really awful thing to say, Nick. Why you got to be like that?
No, right? I just, that's how I, you know, anybody I have a crush on immediately becomes my future ex-wife. So.
Well, no. We got to start the vision board.
Okay.
We got to start the vision board. That's what we say. Your future baby mama.
Okay, there you go. All right. Listen, okay. Dana. So you've been like crazy busy. I know that you traveled around to promote Ash versus Evil Dead. And how was it traveling around with those lunatics that you work with?
Oh God, no. I think I'm the biggest lunatic. I love these people so much. Thank God, because, you know, it's a new thing for me. I mean, I basically flew Southwest, you know, once a year to go home for the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
So, this is a whole new thing for me, like living out of suitcases for months and going, you know, on press tours and conventions. But not only, am I so lucky that I work with such awesome people that it's like a traveling theater troupe is what I'd always compare it to, or like summer camp that goes on the road. You know, it's like Camp Anawana for those of you who are in my age group. And we're going around. So we really, I mean, it is a lot of work, and it can be pretty grueling when you're, you know, doing present stuff, but boohoo, whatever. But the other greatest part though, that keeps you going is getting to meet the fans.
Yeah.
I mean, it infuses me with such enthusiasm and excitement because, I think I mentioned this last time, not only, am I innately grateful to the fans for making this a show, because it was the fans that have been pestering Rob and Sam and Bruce for all these years to make a follow-up. So I thank them every time, because I'm like, you gave me this job, thank you. But just feeding off of their passion and their loyalty and their excitement, and the fact that they have embraced now after two seasons, and even after one, but certainly now, embrace the new characters of Kelly and Pablo.
Oh, yeah.
and I can't explain it. It's such a thrill. Just a thrill.
You know, when you were on the show the last time, Dana, it was before Wizard World. What was Wizard World like for you that weekend? I mean, it's basically your second hometown. You know, it's your second home, and you're here. And that was like one of the first blasts of getting to hang out with the fans for a full weekend. Was that great?
It was, and I have to say, like that. That was more insane for me. Wizard World Chicago was more insane in the sense that I talked to more people and met more fans than I did at the Comic-Con, honestly.
Yeah.
Like the it was, because I was there, what, 4 days?
Yeah.
And I mean, I never know when to stop talking, as you are well aware.
Yeah.
I think I'm the only person that had to go overtime on your show.
Yeah, well, anytime, Dana, as you know.
Well, thank you. But it's really humbling when I start rambling to a fan about how much I love them and, oh, my God, I'm waiting to see this episode and I'm so excited for you. And they, like, slowly start backing away from me. That's a very humbling experience.
Yeah, when the comic fans start to go, all right, I'm done talking to you.
I'm pretty proud of that. I don't know if anyone has achieved that level of annoyingness, I sure have.
You were also, as part of that weekend, and I didn't get a chance to go out there, but Bruce had his film festival, and you guys premiered the episode one, correct, of Ash?
Yes, I'm wondering now, I'm trying to keep track. It was definitely one. I'm wondering if it was even one and two or whatever, but yeah, we definitely did, and we got to sit there and watch it with an audience, and
cool.
I got to have a bunch of my Chicago peeps come out.
That's great.
it was an incredible experience. It really was.
Well, that's great, man. And continued good luck. And I got to tell you, Dana, you guys are knocking it out of the park with this second season.
Thank you.
I got to tell you, I like it even more than the first season. And I loved the first season. And I want to talk more about what's been happening on the second season. And let's start off with the last episode from last Sunday night. The delusion episode.
Oh, right. The insane asylum.
Yeah.
By the way, you're going to have to cut me off because I honestly will take up all of your episode, all of your entire broadcast today talking about this because there are so many things to like talk about that I actually haven't even really talked about in any other interview. So anyway, not to tease the exclusive with you, but I'm just fine.
Oh, okay. All right. Great. Awesome. Well, I just want to say that episode is my favorite of the season so far, probably my favorite of both seasons.
That's amazing.
And
mine too, I think.
There's no deadites in it.
How about that?
Isn't that amazing? Like, it's my favorite episode, and there's not a deadite in it. And the reason I love it is because I think it took the series into a different direction this season. Like, the storyline changed. All the acting was great in it. It was really, the setup was amazing, and it added a whole new level of coolness to the show. And you, Dana, kicked ass in that episode. You were so great. It must have been a lot of fun, right?
Oh man, it was a true acting bucket list moment that I got to cross off my list, and I cannot talk enough about how much I love this episode. When I heard we were doing something like this, I was just chomping at the bit to read the script, especially because Cuckoo's Nest, Once There Was a Cuckoo's Nest, I read it, I believe, in high school, and then saw the movie, and it's one of those films, like, it just stayed with me, always, and I have been desperate to be in a film like that, and play a really mentally insane person, because I just think it looks like so much fun, and the fact that it was a complete homage to Cuckoo's Nest with full-on Nurse Ratched and full-on Bruce Campbell.
Yep.
If you caught it, I'm sure you did, when he did one line without pushing too hard in it of his best, you know, nod to Jack Nicholson.
Yeah.
It was a thrill. And I really loved, as an actor, and that's one of the things I love about the show in general, is not only because it is such a variety of genres within 30 minutes. You know, we're doing everything, jam-packing it. Horror, comedy, action, drama, thriller, all of it is in there. So as an actor, it is a dream to be able to flex those muscles or, from my point of view, for me to be able to explore things I've never done before.
Right.
And maybe, you know, sometimes I fail, I make mistakes, but that's the greatest thing, is I get to do it all in this wild, insane show.
It's awesome. It's awesome. We got to take a break.
Oh, go take a break.
Okay,
oh, God.
Hold on a second. Dana DiLorenzo is with us. We'll come back and talk more about Ash versus Evil Dead and more stuff with the great Dana DiLorenzo. She's awesome, and we will be right back on 720 WGN. Morning, everybody. Welcome back. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Here till 5 a.m., Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5, Steve Cochran at 6. We got Fly Jams Friday coming up, straight out of context, Nick D's show Spies, and You Big Dummy. But right now we're talking with one of my favorite people in the world and one of my favorite guests ever, Dana DiLorenzo, star of Ash vs. Evil Dead. Hi, welcome back, Dana.
Thank you, Nick. Can I just say once again how incredible you are at your job? No, really, though. Like, I don't know if I stressed that enough the first time, that you were such an incredible interviewer. That is not just coming from me. Again, not blowing smoke. I have no reason to.
Yeah.
But like everyone in my circle, my family and friends who watched the interview, because you did a video when I was there.
Right.
They just could not stop talking about how excellent you are, and you are. And then I have to tell you, though, the reason I'm saying that now again in the same interview is because, you know what, I just hate so much that I can't even be there with you, so I never know when I need to. Like, hey, okay, let's wrap it up. We got to go to commercial. Like, I hate that I can't take your very subtle, very professional visual cues from my own radio days. And so, like, legitimately, when that just happened, I'm like, oh, my God, how long was I talking?
No.
God, I should be paying attention. Okay.
No,
enough of that. Yeah. I hate not being there in studio.
I would love you to be here with me in the studio. I love anytime you come. Anytime you come to town, you're here. That's all there is to it.
You know that's happening.
Yeah.
I know. Okay. I wish I could be there. But if you don't mind, may I just wanted to finish one point about the finish. I just wanted to, I do want to finish one point about, we were talking about the most recent episode.
Yeah, and I had more questions about it. So go ahead, finish your.
Go ahead. No. I was just saying that I think I just wanted to pay tribute to, you said one of the things you liked was how it was kind of a departure. It was a departure.
Total. Total.
From what the series was, and that you liked it, that it took it to a different level.
Yeah.
And I agree with you on all points. And that is also what I love about the show. I was saying how there's different genres within the show, and as an actor, you get to explore that. And what was the case with this particular episode is getting to be such a departure from what you're used to. I mean, every single person, all the main characters got to do something very different.
Yep.
You know, Pablo got to be the tough jerk guy.
Yeah.
And Ruby got to be very cold and you know, unfeeling. And
yeah. And also, she
full blown crazy.
She got to. She also got to offer Ash an enema, which was.
I mean, of course.
Oh, and then, but you had the best. You had the best stuff to do, Dana, and you did it full on. You did it 1,000%. And I noted that you posted on your Facebook page that the special effects guys tell everybody that you actually, there's a scene in the episode where you actually start breaking your fingers, your own fingers on your hand.
And yes, spoiler alert.
Yeah, you were a little enthusiastic during the filming of that scene.
Well, I was. You're very right. Roger Murray, who is our makeup effects and special effects designer. I just watched this today. It just came out. The behind the episode or inside Ash vs. Evil Dead, and he actually, well, Rob Tappert, our executive producer, original creator, said, you know, I know for a fact Dana loved playing this kind of role, which I did because it was like I said, acting bucket list, but also so very different from Kelly.
Yep.
And just getting able to go, you know, full speed ahead with that was a thrill. And just to be like covered in crap, in a different kind of crap, like to be really hideous, it was so freeing. And I got to be so fearless, and it was so fun. And in terms of Roger Murray, our mixed effects guy, he said that I got so into it, which I did, that I actually broke the rig when breaking my own fingers. And what he means is I got to go through prosthetics and get a mold of my hand,
right,
which I'm hoping to post. I did a time lapse video. It actually takes like 2 hours, and I'm hoping to post that time lapse because
cool.
It's really fascinating
cool.
to me.
Cool.
Where you just can't. Yeah. So it was that whole. It was a whole arm rig from my elbow on. That's my hand, and that's how good our team is. And they inside were like, let's imagine it being like some sort of bendy material, I don't know, so that you could bend the fingers back and then bend the back, like a twist tie or whatever.
Sure.
Well, no one, first of all, everyone knows I am the klutziest person they've ever met. They know this when they gave me the big machine gun season 1, and I was like, bad idea, guys. They know this because I fall down every step on every set in the middle of filming. Fun fact, true story, happened in the crematorium in episode 1. It was humiliating. Obviously, you didn't see it. But so they maybe should have told me, hey, be gentle when you're pretending to actually snap back your fingers. Well, I'm a very like method kind of person. So if I'm going to sell crazy and break my fingers, I'm going to break them.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I actually, though, unfortunately, broke the fake hand of breaking the fingers after like maybe 3 takes, and that was a problem because when you need to reset and have all the fingers look normal,
yeah,
and your middle finger is hanging by your wrist, it's a problem.
Well, it's a great moment in the. It's a great and creepy and funny moment in the show. And again,
so much fun doing.
And again, I want to talk more. We got to take a break. I want to talk more about the show
already.
And,
oh boy,
I know. All right, Dana DiLorenzo is with us. She rules. And we got to take a break for the news. It's here on WGN. Morning, everybody. Welcome back. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. I am your overnight dude, 2 to 5 a.m. every weekday morning right here on WGN. And I'm here till 5. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5, and then Steve Cochran at 6. It's Friday morning. That means we've got all the regular features. They're coming up. We're going to push them back a little bit because Dana DiLorenzo is here. So we're pushing back all the regular stuff by a few minutes just so we can spend more time with the lovely Dana DiLorenzo. And So all the regular Friday features, including Fly Jams Friday, all coming up. But we're talking with Dana DiLorenzo. You can see her on Ash vs. Evil Dead on Sundays on Stars. And she is back on the show. Hey, Dana.
Buongiorno, paisan.
So, listen, I got to tell you, this season has been so much fun. I have to tell you that I almost cried when Ellen Sandweiss showed up.
Did you?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I was like,
she came. It's her. It's really her. And I just was like,
it's really her.
This was so awesome. What was it like meeting her?
I mean, it was very surreal because that the first Evil Dead is still to this day, even growing up loving horror, I think it is one of the most terrifying, disturbing films of all time. Truly, like it really is. So seeing her, like, I mean, she's the very first Deadite on top of when you think about it of all time. Getting to meet her, and I'd met her at our premiere, but very briefly, and watching her just in the exact same outfit that she was when the film came out, and watching her, I was talking to her about, you know, her career and stuff, and she's like, you know, I've kind of not really done, you know, much acting in the years. I've been a mom and this and that, and she just slipped right into it like an old pair of Deadite contacts. She was incredible, and I think everything with her and the magnificent and multi-talented Ted Raimi it was superb, and the chemistry obviously between her and Bruce, I mean, that is something that only 30 years can give.
Yeah, it was such a wonderful surprise when I was watching it and she came in. I was like, and it's her. It's not a different actress playing the role. It's really her. And I was
they can't do that on this show. They can't get away with that. You really can't do that. As we've seen by this show would never work if it wasn't Bruce Campbell playing Ash.
Yeah.
And I swear to God, I'm looking at my stopwatch. I'm only going to take 30 seconds to say this because I think I've been trying to say it since the beginning of our interview, and I'm so tangential. I just want to take 1 second to say I think this was in the most recent episode, the one in the asylum.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Speaking of Bruce Campbell, I think it was some of his finest work in everything he's done, not just in the franchise. I'm saying in Bubba Hotep, all of it.
Yeah.
Briscoe, all of it. I think I was so blown away by his performance, by his range, by his not only his master of physicality, which we know, but it was that electric shock scene was extremely hard for me to watch.
Yep.
Extremely. When you consider what happens on the show, I mean, he had his head up a cadaver's ass. I say that? Sorry.
Yeah,
I can't say that. Oh, God. he did, and yet that somehow... The electric shock scene was even more disturbing to me. I think that I loved at the end of the episode that they didn't just do a cop out of, oh, it's all been in your head.
Yeah.
You have no idea.
Yeah, it's right.
You like, then at this point, Ball has broken him.
Yeah.
And I think he is magnificent, and I just wanted to point that out. And then just side note to tell you. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say I agree with you 100%. I think it's some of the best work that Bruce has ever done in that
really
30 minutes.
It is. And he's really operating when he has Ashy. We were just talking about the puppet. Ashy Slashy, the puppet.
Yeah.
Whenever it's on, you know, when you see him on, when it's on his arm, he's operating that. And let me tell you, that is, he makes it look so easy. It is not.
Yeah.
And when he did little nuances, like when Kelly and Ash are hiding to try and get the orderly, the Pablo, and we're behind the wall, and I go, shh, and he covers the puppet's mouth. That was not written in the script. That was him. Like, it's so damn brilliant.
Oh, man. Yeah, it was, it's great. It's just great stuff. And that episode was great. Every episode has been great. And it's so much fun to watch Ted Raimi. Ted Raimi, what a great addition to the show. We knew he would be. You know, the last time we talked, I hadn't seen, you know, him on the show yet. I interviewed him and stuff. But his contribution to the show is so fantastic, too.
It is, and it's not over yet. And I said this, you know, and people thought I was just, you know, paid to say this. I did say, you said that you think you like season two even better than season one, and you loved season one.
Yeah.
I did say season two is double the gore, double the laughs, quadruple the blood and viscera, and there are so many oh my God moments. And I have to tell you, people are like, how are you going to top the morgue scene?
Yeah.
Well, I feel like we have. How are you going to top this scene? I feel like we every episode, it steps it up. And all I can tease is that it is not over yet. We still have, 3 episodes left?
Mm-hmm.
And there are some major I guess you would call them Easter eggs, but some major moments for lifelong fans such as yourself that you might also cry. And actually, I know you're going to cry, so just get ready to cry.
Okay.
And definitely just some jaw-dropping, I can't believe that just happened. Tell me that didn't just happen.
I'm so excited.
You're never going to see it coming. I'm so excited for you, and I'm so proud of the season. And yes, I can't sing enough praises for Ted Raimi. I really can't.
He's great. He's great.
And he loves you, by the way. He wanted me to tell you hello. He loves you. I just actually talked to him. I told him I was going back on with you, and mm-hmm. he introduced us, and he's like, oh, man, I love that guy. Tell him I said hey.
Ted's a great guy, man.
He's so good at what he does, man. I'm like, I know.
That's great. That's really, really cool. And, you know, and obviously, you know, Heavenly Majors in the show was amazing and so funny. The scene in the bathroom stall, I swear, I almost peed my pants laughing during that scene.
He is so damn good. And I really, I mean, there has been no better casting choice in the history of television or film.
Yeah.
I mean, he really became Ash Williams' father.
Yeah. I mean, who are you going to, the thing, we talked about this the last time you were here, and this was before I saw any of the episodes. And I'm thinking to myself, if you're going to cast somebody as Bruce Campbell's dad or Ash's dad, it's got to be Lee Majors. That's like the best. It's the best casting choice ever.
Gotta be. It really is. And he hit it out of the park, as I knew he would. And what a special, remarkable man. I got to obviously spend a lot of time with him, especially on the tour. And I cannot say enough about him either. I'm just so lucky to have this job where I get to meet legends like that and be like eating shrimp cocktail across from them, listening to his anecdote about his lifelong friendship with Muhammad Ali. It's like, what?
Yeah.
This is incredible.
And I want to say, you also everybody gets to do more fun stuff, it seems, this season, and the supporting characters as well. But you are now, like, in almost every episode, you are standing side by side next to Xena, kicking ass.
Man.
I mean, how cool is that?
It's so cool. I mean, and honestly, I told her, I'm like, can you, like, lower the bar a little bit because I have to look kind of cool in the scene. case in point, there's a scene that we're in the woods for, which is not giving anything away. So I had to hold a stick at one point as a prop, and I'm holding the stick just in between takes. I'm like, oh, I wish I could, you know, twirl this like a baton twirl. I wish I knew how to twirl. I didn't realize Lucy was there, and she comes up next to me, and she goes, Oh, mate, it's easy. And she takes it and starts warrior princessing that. And she's like, look it. And she like tried to do it super slow. I'm like, oh, yeah, that does look easy. And I try it and hit myself in the face. And I have video to prove it.
Oh, like, that's great.
She is amazing. And I have been learning so much from her and have such, she is so fun. Off that, like, we have a great time. We really do.
Well, and I also want to mention that, and I didn't know this because I've been texting you after I've watched the episodes.
Because I have been, it's adorable.
Because I'm so excited after I watch it, I'm just like, oh my god, Dana, that was so good. And I texted you all I did 2 weeks ago. I texted the line that you say, which you cannot say on the radio.
I know.
The line that you improvised about doing something with bullets to these people. And I almost, I immediately texted you because it was the greatest. And then you texted me back and said you improvised that line.
Well, I didn't improvise. I came up with it. I suggested it to the writers. And I said, hey, because I wanted to really, because, you know, Kelly's doing a lot of screaming out the windows and shooting bullets. And I go, look, this is a moment that has to be so over the top for Kelly to come back in and go, too much? And I go, so can I say something like this? I figured out how I can say on the radio, because this is my pitch for season 3. Because a lot of people really liked the line, which I did not write. One of our amazing writers, Cam Welsh, wrote, which was in the last episode with the puppet, because the puppet doesn't really exist except, you know, to Ash.
Yeah.
So when Kelly's arguing or talking to Ash, and she says, "What the Fraggle Rock is that thing?" People really like that line. So I've suggested, and I love that line as well. So I'm like, well, what about season 3? Kelly replaces every F-bomb with Fraggle Rock. So this is how the line you're talking about that you love so much that I suggested would sound. Ready?
Yes.
What the frat? Wait, it's in line. Ready? Ready? Okay. Back off now, or I will fraggle rock your faces with bullets.
That's exactly right. Although it replaced fraggle rock with a different word. And I was just like,
did she? And I think that's a great option.
It's great. It was so funny because after you, I'm watching the episode, after you said that, I just went, did she really just say that?
Yes, she did. Yes, Kelly Maxwell did. She is not screwing around anymore.
No.
You know what I mean? She is like, she needs this revenge. She will not be happy until every single dead-eyed head is hanging as a canopy of string lights over her bed. She needs it.
The other thing I want to mention about this season is that it solidifies the relationships between Pablo, Kelly, and Ash. And there is
absolutely.
The characters are loyal. The characters are dedicated to one another, and that comes across 100%, especially in this season.
Well, and thank you. And again, I think that has to do with the magic sauce of just having an innate chemistry with those actors, Bruce Campbell and Ray Santiago, and I think that translates. And also a testament to our incredible showrunner Craig DiGregorio and our writers, because they really do. They build the house, and we just have to go in and decorate it. But yeah, I think by season two, coming into it, having a season under our belt, kind of knowing now what the show is, everyone has footing on who their character is, where we're going. I'm so happy to hear that you are seeing that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because then but as you know, it raises the stakes, because the minute people get close in this world, what happens, Nick?
Yeah.
What happens?
Yeah. Not good.
Somebody's going to die. That's all I'm going to say.
All right, Dana, hang on.
No one is safe.
Hang on, Dana.
Okay.
All right, Dana DiLorenzo is with us. She's awesome. You can see her on Ash vs. Evil Dead. Sundays on Stars. You can get the Stars app as well. It's 7 episodes in, and you can catch up on the app. You can catch up on demand if you've missed. It's just great, and Dana is phenomenal on it. And we're going to talk more with Dana DiLorenzo for a little bit here. But right now, we got to take a break. We got weather and traffic here on 720 WGN. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of Trib Tower. We are going to get to our regular Friday features coming up right after the news. We've got Straight Out of Context, Nick D. Show Spies, You Big Dummy, and then we'll kick it all off with Fly Jams Friday. But one of my favorite people on earth is with us. She is the star of Ash vs. Evil Dead on Sundays on Stars. It's Dana DiLorenzo. Dana, welcome back.
Thank you, Nick. I have to apologize to you.
For what?
Because I am making you earn your feed today, my friend. I just realized how hard I am making your job, because I feel like every commercial break, it's like you have to talk faster and faster to get to it, because I am talking even more than I was in studio and I'm making it very difficult.
You're not, Dana. Listen, if I could have you on the show every damn night, I would. That's
don't tempt me.
So that's,
can we start doing like advice segments?
Sure, sure, absolutely. Okay. Yeah. No, I mean, okay. Dan and I were just talking off the air that, you know,
hi, Dan.
There's Dan. Dan's
waiting. Are you guys still lovers? Are you still holding hands?
No, actually, I jilted him for you. So that's it.
But yet I'm here and you're there. You missed out. I mean, that's a dumb move, dude.
I know. And your names your names are so close. Your first names are so close that it's...
I realize. One letter off.
Exactly.
You could totally tattoo either of our names and resolve it. When you decide who you really want to be with.
No, that's great. So we're going to have you on more often, Dana. As long as your schedule is okay, we want to have you on more often than...
I am happy to come on and talk to you, Nick, my favorite person on the planet, my favorite interviews to do, whenever you want.
That's so sweet. All right, well, now listen, you know, they got all the Ash vs. Evil Dead. Do you have any other projects lined up? Are you working on stuff? Are you still going out?
I am, and the things in the pipeline right now are... A feature film called The Mad Ones, which is quite a departure from what I'm doing on Ash vs. Evil Dead.
I saw the trailer for that. It looks pretty great.
Fantastic. Yeah, oh, great. Thank you. I'm really, really proud of this independent film about three 20-somethings being very successful in their line of work, but being miserable and trying to just find what makes them happy and find that pure experience again when we live in a world of virtual and nothing is real, and relationships and all that. So I'm very proud of that movie.
Are
and
you
then,
now, Dana? Are you guys going to do like the festival circuit with it? Are you going to take it around the states and stuff?
Yeah, you know, that is still. I think I would assume so. I know that they're still like working on some posts with it. So TBD. But in the meantime, you can follow that one at themadonesmovie.com.
Okay.
And then the other one is a short film that is slated to be made into a feature down the road. And that one has quite the cast. It is written, directed, and starring Alex Bay, a Chicago boy, might I add. People might know him in Chicago. He had a film that did exceptionally well and won some awards called Warren that he also,
believe.
Yeah. That's him. So that's him. And I play his fiance in it. And then we have amazing cast like PJ Byrne, who from Vinyl, who was most recently in Vinyl, and the beautiful and talented Anna Camp from Good Girls Revolt and Pitch Perfect and all that stuff. And Abigail Spencer, who's now killing it on Timeless on NBC. So many other people. And it's a really just lovely Woody Allen-esque film, also very proud of.
It's called Three Women. I think it's threewomenfilm.com. Okay.
And then finally, the one thing, I'm not quite sure when it's coming out. I was told possibly May of 2017. But in addition to getting to cross something off my bucket list by playing a mentally ill person on Ash was Evil Dead for an episode, I got to do something else, which was so exciting, which is voice a character on Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the TV show.
Oh, that's so cool.
Man, it was a highlight because can I tell you, I actually am one of the, 10 people in Youngstown, Ohio that saw Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles in concert.
That's real. That's awesome.
That happened. And I actually I was 10 with my little brother who was 6. And I went up to the front of the stage to just grab Leonardo's leg. And I remember being so squishy. And now in hindsight as an adult, I'm like, they must have been sweating their asses off.
Oh, yeah.
In that full on.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's anything like prosthetics that we wear, I can't even imagine them. But yes, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles in concert, I saw. So it was quite a thrill to be able to voice a character on an episode of that.
That's great. And now, who's your favorite turtle? Is it Leonardo?
No. You know, growing up, it was always Michelangelo.
Oh, okay.
Because he was just loving. He's just such a dope, and he loves his pizza, and I just love him. I don't know. I don't know why I cheated on him for Leonardo and grabbed his leg. I think he was the closest one. It's kind of like how you cheat on Dan with me, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. Dana, we ran out of time. And
of course, oh, shocking.
Yeah.
If I had a nickel, Nick.
I know. But listen, we can't wait 3.5 months in between visits anymore, okay?
All right, fair enough.
All right, well, you're the best, Dana. I love you.
Oh, and thank you so much for having me back, Nick, and I can't wait for you to see the rest of the season.
I'm very excited about it. And Ash vs. Evil Dead airs Sunday nights on Starz. Get the app. Dana, always a pleasure, and we'll talk to you soon, okay?
Okay, much love to you, Paisan.
All right, see you later, buddy. There you go. Dana DiLorenzo, I love her. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we got the news, and afterwards, all the Friday features in the final hour of the show. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN.